You're listening to More Perfect Marketing, the show for business owners and entrepreneurs always on the lookout for smart marketing ideas to keep their business moving forward. And now, here's your host, David Baer.
Well, hello. You're listening to another episode of More Perfect Marketing. My name is David Baer, and today we're going to be talking about a fascinating topic, viral video ads. And I want to preface this conversation by sharing a story about a video ad that was shared with me not too long ago. It was on the advice of my wife, who I keep up at night because I snore a lot. And she was complaining at some gathering. So this was clearly pre-COVID, to somebody about the fact that I snore. And at some point in the last year or so, I get this video forwarded to me about, and it's a pretty hilarious video about this little thing that I could pop in my mouth, which I now use every night, by the way. And this was a hilarious video. I was sitting there watching the whole thing. I knew, you know, basically what they were trying to do is sell me a product, but it was a problem I had. It was a solution I needed. And it turns out that my guest today is behind that video. I'm so very, very happy to welcome Joseph Wilkins, who is the founder of FunnySalesVideos.com. You can find him over there. He's also a podcast host in his own right. You can find his podcast at How to Make a Video Go Viral. So, Joseph, welcome.
Thank you, David. I'm extremely pleased to hear that story because that's a great result that you actually are now in treatment.
Yes, absolutely. And I'm fascinated by this entire viral video craze. It's not something that is brand new, but I think a lot of businesses have witnessed other companies out there utilizing this approach. And I want to talk a little bit about, you know, the folks you learned this from, because there are sort of the masters out there. Yes. We can talk about who they are in a moment, but I wanted to get a little bit of your background, because you didn't originally start with these videos, these viral videos. You've been in the video ad world for a long time.
Yeah.
Why don't you give us a little bit of your background?
So the funny thing is when I tell people this, they kind of chuckle, but for the first 15 years of running my video production studio, when the phone would ring and a client would say, "We just saw this really funny video and we want to do something like that," I always said the same thing. "Sorry, we don't do funny." Mm-hmm. Because the worst thing that you can do as a business is look silly. And that's what you will be if you don't do this right. And so for the first 15 years, to rewind the clock, I started my agency producing infomercials, television commercial, television 30-minute shows. You remember those back in the day when you were up at 1 a.m, maybe because your wife would kick you out of the bed because you were snoring and you were flipping through the channels and you'd see these infomercials. Our very first one was the Little Giant Ladder infomercial that did over $200 million in sales. Mm. We were a very small part of that production, but that kind of got me into the direct response television advertising industry. And we did very well. The problem is that I don't know about you, but I cannot remember the last time I physically turned on a television and watched live TV. Yes. Certainly not in the way that I would flip through the channels. Maybe I'll watch the news or a sporting event. And so after 15 years of doing these kinds of ads, working for some of the biggest companies on the planet in a lot of cases, we just got to a point where our clients were saying, "It's not working anymore. What do we do? How do we get back to those days when we were seeing such great returns?" And that's when we really started to look at what the Harmon brothers were doing. Mm-hmm. Now we're here in Utah and they're just down the road. I went to the same university as those guys. I know a lot of the same people. And so I really started to look at how are they engaging with people on a whole different level, because they weren't showing their ads on TV. And this is the fundamental difference. is when people go to Facebook, when people go to YouTube, when people go to Instagram, they're not there to be sold. They're there to be entertained. They're there to waste some time and, you know, have a little break from their day. And so the more you can look like the content that they've come to see, which is entertainment, the more you're going to be, the less friction there's going to be in getting them to engage with you. So that's really what the Harmon brothers were doing, is creating these funny sketch comedy style short videos that people watched, shared, but more importantly, it was telling a story that was identifying a need that they actually had, just like your need to stop your snoring. The funny thing about that video that you just referenced is I don't think it mentions a product for about 2.5 minutes. Doesn't even mention that it's an ad. It just feels like a funny sketch comedy or a, you know, just a funny video that you related to. And so you kept watching, but then we introduced a solution and obviously it worked in your case. Not a cheap investment from a click. That's a pretty good return.
Yeah.
So anyway, right as we started to assemble a team, and that's the key, is I assembled a team of comedy writers that could create great comedy. And right about that time, the Harmon brothers launched their Harmon Brothers University, and we signed up for every course that they put out. And to give you a compare and contrast, you know, in our first 15 years of business, we did a lot of sales videos that went online, as well as television commercials and infomercials. And our biggest video that we'd ever got on YouTube had about 100,000 views. Our very first campaign, when I launched Funny Sales Videos about 4 years ago, between three videos for a very, very small, very niche company, we got 7 million views. And more importantly, we generated $500,000 in sales. Fast forward to today, our biggest campaign is for a laundry detergent. Talk about boring. We turned a laundry detergent into a really fun series of videos using the same characters. And that campaign is about to hit 90 million views, close to 100 Wow. million views
Yeah.
on a subject that when I first, you know, was introduced to the client, I thought, gosh, how are we going to make this funny? But again, more importantly, millions and millions of dollars in tracked sales. So that's all we do these days.
You see, you bring up an interesting point, because a lot of the products that I think we see in these types of videos are actually fairly mundane. I mean, you mentioned Harmon Brothers, and I don't even know if they did that original Dollar Shave Club. Was that them, or was that somebody else?
Right? That was kind of a wild anomaly. That was one guy that used to be a stand-up comic that did it himself.
Okay, but
it was that's in the same time.
That's a fairly boring, you know, topic, right? And razors have not necessarily been something that have traded on humor. They had one funny product, I think. I can't remember the potty thing that they did, but they had a mattress. A mattress is not necessarily something that can be funny. And so taking laundry detergent or a another product like the sleep aid or no snoring remedy. Those are not typically exciting, sexy topics to cover. And so humor is probably a great angle, I'm assuming. Is that what you found over time?
I actually find it's interesting. I find the more boring the product, the more successful the campaign. Not because it's a funner video, but because it's so different than what your competitors are doing. I'll give you an example. We have a client who has a medical device that alleviates headaches. It's kind of like a massager that you put on your head and neck and back. The medical space is one of the most, you know, clinical, obviously, but they would, when I gave him a proposal for what I thought he should do, it was completely different than anything that anyone else in his space was doing. And he had the forethought to say, that's exactly what I need to do, because it'll be so much different than everyone else. I'll stand out. So whether, you know, and again, some businesses will say, well, I'm B2B, you do a lot of B2C. We've done B2B campaigns that have been very, very successful, whether it's generating leads, generating sales, whatever the action is, you can use humor, but you got to use it right.
So talk a little bit about the using it right, because you clearly understand the formula for getting people to engage and then to take an action. What are some of the important things that people need to know about, you know, how to structure these types of campaigns?
Well, I asked you before we started recording how long your podcast was, because I could talk for days on that one question alone. Yeah. The short answer is a lot of companies will call us and we'll either be busy. We've literally been booked up for about 18 months. We're starting to take on a few new clients right now. But because of that, I didn't want to just say no to everyone. And so I created a free ebook. It's called How to Make a Funny Sales Video Without Hiring Us. And there's 8 steps that we take every single one of our videos through. When you see our video, you know, or any of our videos on our website, each one took between 3 to 6 months to produce. So these aren't things that you can just throw out. There are different kinds of video marketing, and there's a place for each one of them. There's a place for random, you know, pull out your cell phone and have your CEO record a message. Unboxing, customer, you know, user-generated content. This is not that. This is very carefully structured, highly produced content that everything in there is for a reason. And ultimately, you know, you're going to spend some money to promote that. So, you know, the steps are, you know, understanding your customer, really getting down on a granular level to who is it you're talking to. There's no point putting pen to paper. If you were going to write a letter to a friend, you would think, well, who is that friend? What is it that they want to know about? Same with your videos. You've got to understand the mind of the customer, what their problems are, and how your product is better, different than anything else on the market. And so doing a lot of research is key. Then you got to brainstorm a whole bunch of ideas. You've probably seen the show Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Mm-hmm. The best of those three lifelines is always ask the audience, because the wisdom of the crowd beats the individual every time. So the more people you can get to brainstorm with you, whether that looks like, you know, a company-wide meeting where everyone throws out their ideas and no answer is a wrong answer, there's no judgment, or whether it's creating, you know, more of a skilled group of writers and comedians on a Google Doc and do it remotely. But I try to throw out 50 different crazy ideas before I distill it down to the 5 best ones that I present to my clients.
That's a fascinating point you make, because this is something that, you know, in copywriting we often talk about is, you know, you need to do 50 headlines or 50 email subject lines and then whittle it down to the best ones. So it's cool to hear that you're doing something similar.
Yeah. I mean, marketing is marketing, whether it ends up on a billboard, an email, or a video. So, well, people say to me, well, what is a brainstorm idea? It's just 2 things. It's who is the person that is the hero character of the video and what is their problem? So, you know, don't worry about the details here. We're just looking at high level ideas. So it could be, you know, that you're selling widgets and your hero character is a monk who's stuck in a monastery and needs a widget to, I don't know, do something. I mean, that's a really bad example, but it's a perfect example because it's bad. And so throwing out 50 different scenarios. Now, you want to make it relatable, but you also want to make it fantastic and surprising. So those 2 things can be in conflict, but that's the process of distilling it down to an idea that you finally say, okay, this is fun enough that it'll get people's attention, but it's still relatable enough that the average person will see themselves in the story, or at least see the situation that is the problem that they have. Mm-hmm. So then once we've got our main brainstorm high-level concept, we take it to scripting. Now, between brainstorming and scripting, we normally take 2 months on that process. So scripting will go through multiple stages. There's the marketing copy points that have to be communicated to make a sale. And that comes in your first step of doing all the research, understanding, reading customer reviews, getting on the deeper level of why people buy. A lot of marketing directors and CEOs think they know the reasons their customers buy. But once we go through this exercise, a lot of time we'll come back to them and say, you know what? People may have said that they buy it because, you know, you're selling a weight loss product and they want to lose weight. But really the reason why they're buying it is because, you know, they need self-confidence. And when they go to their 10-year high school reunion, they want to look better or whatever it is. We get to the surface reasons.
Yeah.
And that, you know, it just works so much better.
Right.
So once you've got your copy points, then we typically have about 8 writers on each script. And one of them is a script writer. So the person putting the story together, taking the concept and the marketing copy points, building a framework around it. And typically it's a problem solution, right? So we meet the customer or we meet the hero of the video. We always start with a very visually disruptive opening 5 to 10 seconds. So whatever it takes to get your attention, to stop the scroll, doesn't have to be selling, but it has to be shocking, surprising, curiosity piquing. And a lot of the time we do 3 different versions of that opening hook and we ABC test it to see which one gets the better click-through rate.
A question of clarification here. So is that really just the big difference in the videos? It's just the opening and then the balance of it is all the same?
That's the only difference. So we're only testing watch through rate because before you spend your marketing budget, and I guess now is a good time to pull back the curtain and reveal the ugly secret. None of these videos are virally organic. None of the Harman Brothers videos went virally organic. They got a ton of organic views, but it was because they first started with paid ads. Mm-hmm. It's all about paid ads. It's all about building a vending machine full of $100 bills that cost $20 to use. How many times are you going to want to use that machine? Over and over and over.
Right.
And so what we do is we go into companies that have been running Facebook ads or YouTube or Instagram, whatever, and they're getting a break even, or maybe they're getting a, you know, 2x return on ad spend. And when we do nothing else but replace their creative with ours, you know, we've seen many times immediate double of those numbers, you know, double their return on ad spend. And so it's not about making a video organically go viral. Once you get it out there and people start commenting and sharing on it, you'll get a lot of organic shares, but still probably only 10% of the views are organic.
Well, I imagine you need to control who is seeing this. Like you know, back in your days on television, you would buy remnant space at, you know, at late at night or whatever, and you sort of got a sense of who might be watching at that point, but you didn't really know every single type of individual.
Yeah, it was broadcast by very terms.
Yes, and now you have the ability to control who sees it, but you can't do that as easily organically as you can if you're paying for it.
Yeah, and this is where we get to the realm of I'm the creative brains. Mm-hmm. We work with clients who have digital marketing strategists in-house, or they have digital agencies. So I can't speak to all of the nuances of campaign management, but I can kind of describe what they do. But yes, they target very, very specific. In fact, sometimes what they'll do, from what I understand, is they'll start with a campaign that's only optimized for views, not for sales. Mm-hmm. They want to get a certain amount of views out there so that they can get social proof. They can get comments, they can get likes, they can get shares. And then Facebook will see, oh, people actually like this video. And then they can buy it at a much cheaper rate per impression and then turn it into sales conversion optimization. Yeah. Yeah. And you know, Ryan over at True Earth, the laundry detergent that we've had these amazing results with, when we first launched his campaign, his click-through rate, let me get this right, his click-through rate doubled. In other words, he was getting twice as many views for the same dollar just switching out the creative. So that shows you the value of really good creative. And then, you know, the conversion rates were much, much higher as well. So
I was going to say, you keep mentioning Facebook, and I think, you know, still people will say, will assume as soon as you say the medium is video, YouTube is the first one, but the two platforms have been battling, you know, on the video front for several years now. Is it, when you start a campaign, is Facebook the place that you're starting, or is there just a reason that you keep mentioning Facebook more than YouTube?
So I personally still believe that Facebook is the number one platform for targeting and getting the kinds of results. Now, there are, depending on the client, that's one of the first things we want to know from our research phase is where are your audience spending most of their time? If it's a, you know, teenage market, they're not on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Decades ago, they left, or a decade ago, they left, right?
I was going to say, there wasn't Facebook decades ago,
well,
but yes.
Yeah. They're on TikTok or the latest buzz platform. And so that's the first thing that we need to understand is where is this ad intended for? I would say for the majority of the clients that we have, it's an adult audience. And a lot of them are on Facebook. A lot of them are on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a good point that you raise. We do multiple versions of the video, not just from that hook testing, but we'll do square versions that are intended to be shown on a mobile platform, which is mm-hmm. typically, you know, a Facebook audience. And then we'll do a widescreen version that's intended for YouTube. That widescreen version doesn't have subtitles, but the square version does, because 80% of people on a mobile device have their sound off until you earn the right to get them to turn it on. That's mm-hmm. what our opening hook is all about, piquing their curiosity enough to keep watching and turn the sound on. So those videos, we will design my graphic designer will put subtitles on the screen. We won't leave it up to Facebook to auto-generate. It'll do a terrible right. job.
Yep.
So different versions. And then we do long versions, short versions. We split test those. Anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. I'll really quickly breeze through the rest of these steps.
Sure.
So once you've got your script, you bring in the comedians. And these are trained comedians. A lot of the people that work for me are freelancers. In fact, almost all of them are stand-up comics that travel from gig to gig. And during the day, they're traveling. And so guess what they like to do? Make some money during that time by freelancing for me.
Hmm.
And so, you know, reach out to really good comedians to help punch up your script with these, with additional jokes. The next step is the production, the actual filming. Before you can film, though, you've got to find your actors. That's probably one of the most important parts. In all these eight steps, the two things that are, I would say, non-negotiable that you need to find trained professionals are the writing and the acting. The rest of it, you can find ways to do yourself. If you're a small business owner, shoot it on your iPhone, edit it on your phone, but you can't skip really good writing and really good acting.
And you have a few actors I noticed that appear in several different ads that you run, and they have like brilliant deadpan delivery and all of the things that I think are necessary for, you know, an engaging, you know, content. So, yeah. I like who you've found.
Thank you. We take meticulous care to spend a lot of time auditioning, and a lot of business owners don't understand that auditioning is free. If you want to get the right actor, send a script out to two or three or four of the local acting agencies, and they'll send you back video auditions from actors that have auditioned. We will typically go through 50 plus actors auditioning them before we get to the right one. We'll call back, you know, four or five of the best ones to do a live or a Zoom, see if they can do this faster or slower or with emphasis on this word, make sure they're coachable and directable. And then the last thing is, I love to cast actors who have experience with improv, because what you've written on the script should be better because of them. And they should bring ideas, not necessarily pre-scripted ideas, but when they're on the set, a lot of the times they'll just improv something or spin off a line slightly differently, mm-hmm. or just come up with something goofy on the spot that often makes it into the cut. And if you allow them the time to breathe and do that, you'll find it'll really benefit you in the finished edit. Step six is editing. We've all heard comedy is about timing. And so having a really good editor who understands when to speed things up, when to slow things down, when a joke works better, when you cut it a certain way or switch to a different camera angle. There's actually lines in some of my videos, the structure, I've completely changed them and put them in different orders, and they just work better because my editor came up with an idea and it just works. Step seven is testing. Once you've got all these different versions of your video, you've got to partner with an agency or have a really good in-house digital marketer who really knows what to do with that click. My job is to get you to watch the video and then click through. Well, click through to where? You've got to have an optimized sales funnel that is as compelling with the copy on the site as the video was. Mm-hmm. And then know, you know, what do I do with this lead once I get it? How do I upsell? How do I cross sell? How do I remarket to them? How do I put them into my email list? Because certain a number of people will buy straight away, certain won't. And so what do you do with that? And then step eight, we've already discussed this, is forget the notion that this video is just going to go viral on its own. Mm-hmm. You got to back it up with ad spend. Now, that doesn't need to be huge ad spend. We have a client, the headache device that I mentioned, that's a one-man company operation, very, very small budget. I think he was spending something like $50 to $100 a day on ads. But he was consistent with it, and we just did a podcast with him a few months ago where he revealed the fact that he's doubled his month over month sales compared to last year through COVID.
Wow. I mean, excellent.
The results from doing this can literally be transformational if you do it right.
Well, it's brilliant. And you squeezed all eight in despite my interruptions before we had to wrap up. So I appreciate that. But the ebook, I assume, goes a lot more in depth for folks who want to download that. So where can they find that if they're interested in getting more details on these eight steps?
So go to funnysalesvideos.com, scroll down almost all the way to the bottom, and you'll see a big banner that says get our free ebook. And then the other place I would point you is, you know, we go into a lot more detail on our podcast, How to Make a Video Go Viral.
Excellent. And that's howtomakeavideogoviral.com?
Actually, yes, we do own that domain as well, but you can find it on any platform. And then, you know, finally, if anyone is interested in chatting with me about a campaign for your business, just shoot me an email at joseph@funnysalesvideos.com.
Excellent. Well, this has been fascinating. I want to encourage folks to visit your site just to get a glimpse of some of the work that you have put out there, because they're fun, engaging, and clearly you've discovered how to make people laugh and buy at the same time. So
sounds good. Yeah, go to the site, watch the videos, and buy some of my client stuff. Maybe you'll end up with a snoring device.
Joseph Wilkins, thank you so very much for joining us. And folks, I want to thank you for hanging out with us here again on another episode of More Perfect Marketing. We'll catch you again next time. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to More Perfect Marketing. For a collection of 26 smart marketing cheat sheets to help you master your marketing, please visit getdavidsgift.com. That's getdavidsgift.com. Once again, thanks for listening to More Perfect Marketing.